Welcome back to HN Pod, your daily conversation about the top stories and most interesting debates from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Thursday, July 23rd, 2026, and this is episode 465. We are covering the top trending stories from yesterday, July 22nd. We have got a really fantastic lineup for you today.
We really do. We are going to be talking about how the world's greatest living mathematician uses AI, a brilliant new tool that packs an entire presentation suite into a single file, and some sad news about a true legend of tech journalism.
Plus, we will look at a hilarious satirical pitch to replace your CEO with an AI, and a very relatable rant about why the user experience of passkeys is driving everyone crazy. Let us jump right in with our first story, which racked up an impressive 745 points. It is a shared ChatGPT transcript from Terence Tao, the legendary Fields medalist, exploring a counterexample to the Jacobian conjecture.
For a little context, the Jacobian conjecture is a famous unsolved problem in mathematics, and recently someone named Claude Fabel produced a potential counterexample. What is fascinating here is not just the math itself, which is way over my head, but watching how Terence Tao interacts with the AI.
Exactly. Reading this transcript is like watching a masterclass in prompt engineering, but not the kind you see in Twitter threads. Tao uses short, incredibly pointed questions. He goes all in on the heavy mathematical jargon and machinery, and he steers the large language model hard. He gives it zero softballs.
A commenter named PLC had a beautiful observation about this. They said that large language models match the level of sophistication of the user. If you ask better questions, you get better answers. They compared it to physics, where general relativity is a two-way street. Space tells mass how to move, and mass tells space how to bend. In this transcript, Terence tells the AI what question to explore, and the AI tells him what questions to ask next.
It really is magic to watch. But it also sparked a huge debate in the comments about the future of learning and expertise. A user named Michael Cesari pointed out that you can only use AI effectively if you already master the problem domain. He said he can use AI for coding after decades of experience, but he cannot use it for theoretical physics because he cannot evaluate the responses.
Right. And that leads to a scary paradox that another commenter brought up. If the next generation relies entirely on AI to do the work, how will they ever develop the decades of deep domain expertise needed to know if the AI is hallucinating or not? You cannot hallucinate a working mathematical proof, but you can certainly hallucinate a software architecture.
It is the ultimate chisel in the hands of a master sculptor argument. Tao gets magic out of ChatGPT because he is Terence Tao. It is a great read, even if you just skim the math to see the interaction dynamic.
Moving on to our next story, which hits 741 points. It is a show HN post for a project called Bento. The tagline is, an entire PowerPoint in one HTML file, including editing, viewing, data, and collaboration.
I absolutely loved this one. The creator, who goes by Starfall Gee on Hacker News, built this because their team was making slide decks using web technologies and AI coding harnesses like Claude Code. But making small edits was a pain because you had to dig into the code, so they created Bento. It is a single, default 560 kilobyte HTML file that works entirely offline. No cloud login, no installation.
And the technical implementation is so clever. The file basically has two sections. Near the top is a plain block of JSON containing the slide data, and the app itself is a Base64 blob that inflates in the browser using the decompression stream API. That is how it stays so small and self-contained.
But the craziest part is that it supports live collaboration. If you want to co-edit with someone, it uses a blind relay running on Cloudflare durable objects. The relay only sees encrypted data from the clients, so there is no cloud database storing your presentation. You just share an invite file, and suddenly you are doing live multiplayer editing on a local file.
The Hacker News comments were full of nostalgia and praise. One user compared it to TiddlyWiki, which is that classic single-file personal wiki. Another user said it gave them massive HyperCard vibes, capturing that early promise of the web, where everything was just a document you could tinker with.
There was also some constructive feedback. Bento is built on top of Reveal.js, but it removes the vertical slide feature to act more like traditional PowerPoint. A commenter named In a Nutshellus pointed out that vertical slides are the most magical part of Reveal.js, allowing you to hide technical deep dives below the main presentation path. The creator actually chimed in and said they would look into bringing that back.
It is just a wonderful example of hacker ingenuity, simple, portable, and fiercely independent from the big tech office suites. Speaking of big tech and the old days, our next story is a somber one. John C. Dvorak has died at the age of 74. This post got 677 points.
Yeah, this was tough news to wake up to. The announcement came from the No Agenda Show account on X. For anyone who grew up reading PC Magazine or watching tech TV in the 90s and 2000s, John C. Dvorak was an absolute fixture. He was the original Cranky Geek, which was literally the name of one of his early podcasts.
He was known for being highly skeptical, contrarian, and sometimes spectacularly wrong about new technologies, but he was always entertaining. A lot of commenters shared memories of watching him butt heads with Leo Laporte on Silicon Spin and later on the Twit Network. They had this incredible dynamic where John would derail the show just to get under Leo's skin.
It was great television and great podcasting. A funny clarification that came up in the comments, because a lot of people were wondering, John did not invent the Dvorak keyboard layout. That was actually his uncle, August Dvorak.
The comments also touched on how his career evolved. In his later years, especially on the No Agenda podcast with Adam Curry, his views shifted heavily into political and conspiracy theory territory, which alienated some of his older tech audience. But even the people who stopped listening to him expressed a lot of respect for his legacy.
As one commenter put it, he was often wrong, but how wonderful to be human and have your own opinions and proudly be wrong sometimes. He shaped the way a whole generation thought about technology journalism. Rest in peace, John.
Our next story is a massive change of pace. It is a website called OverpaidBotLOL, and the title is Over AI'd, Fire Your CEO, Hire the Future. It got 650 points.
This is a brilliant piece of satire, Sarah. The premise is that your human CEO costs $22 million a year, but this new AI will do their entire job for a one-time fee of $4,699. It claims to handle strategy, vision, and motivational all-hands emails better, faster, and without asking the board for a bigger private jet.
The copywriting on this site is razor sharp. It points out the hypocrisy of the current tech layoff wave. Companies are firing thousands of frontline workers and middle managers, citing AI-driven efficiency, while the executives who approve the layoffs and the AI budgets keep their jobs and take home massive bonuses.
My favorite part of the site is the corporate jargon bingo card for your next all-hands meeting. It includes phrases like circle back, boil the ocean, double-click on that, and blue ocean strategy. The site jokes that an AI would never generate these phrases unprompted, but humans with massive compensation packages do it constantly for free.
It also makes a really smart distinction about what jobs are actually replaceable. It argues that a nurse catching a patient's condition change or an engineer debugging a live outage at 3 a.m. cannot be abstracted away. But reading a report someone else wrote and repeating the conclusion on an earnings call is exactly what large language models are built for.
The Hacker News comments took this satirical premise and turned it into a really deep discussion about what a CEO actually does. A user named Bob1029 had a fantastic insight. They said the purpose of a CEO in most large companies is not to actually run the company. Their purpose is to be the human delegate that represents the corporate entity.
Right. They called it the one throat to choke theory. In regulated business-to-business contexts, counterparties want a single person they can hold responsible for large contracts. They want a human they can summon to a golf course who will arrive in a fantastic mood. The CEO does not even need to know how the product works. They just need to be the conduit of information and liability.
Which, of course, sparked a massive debate about whether CEOs actually face any real liability or risk given their golden parachutes. But as a piece of social commentary on the current state of artificial intelligence and corporate greed, Overpaid absolutely nailed the zeitgeist.
It really did. Okay, our final story today is a tweet from Nikita Beer that clearly struck a nerve, pulling in 483 points. The tweet says, "Passkeys were invented by security engineers with zero understanding of the consumer brain."
Oh man, this one hurts because it is so true. Nikita goes on to say that because no one understood what passkeys were, we could not argue against them. And now we are all asked to produce magic fairy dust to log into apps. It might be on your phone, in your browser, in your operating system. Who knows?
The Hacker News comment section was basically a group therapy session for frustrated users and engineers. A user named Gortok laid out the exact problem perfectly. They use four different devices, an iPad, an iPhone, a Windows desktop, and a MacBook, across three different browsers, and they use LastPass. They asked,
If I set up a passkey on my phone in Safari, can I log in on my Windows machine in Firefox? How does my wife log into our shared Amazon account?
And the answer is usually a confusing mess. The original idea of passkeys, storing a private key on a secure hardware enclave like a YubiKey or a TPM chip, is cryptographically brilliant. But the implementation has become a turf war. Apple, Google, Microsoft, and password managers like Bitwarden all want to be the sole custodian of your passkeys.
Exactly. A commenter named The Comb Jelly pointed out that a potentially good idea got corrupted by vendors trying to assert control. They do not explain what is happening. They just pop up a prompt offering to handle it for you. And if you are not deeply technical, it feels like you are locking your identity inside a black box.
The tension here is between security and convenience. Security engineers want the keys to be non-exportable and bound to a specific piece of hardware. But consumers want to be able to drop their phone in a lake, buy a new phone from a different manufacturer, and still be able to log into their bank.
Right now, the fallback mechanisms are confusing, and sharing credentials with family members is a nightmare. It is a classic case of engineering a mathematically perfect solution that completely fails to account for messy, real-world human behavior. Until the user experience gets sorted out, a lot of people in the comments are sticking with traditional password managers.
I cannot say I blame them. Sometimes the magic fairy dust is just a little too magical.
That is so true. Well, that is going to do it for today's episode of HN Pod. We covered a lot of ground today, from the heights of mathematical theory to the frustrations of modern login screens.
We really appreciate you spending your time with us. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend or colleague who loves Hacker News as much as we do.
We will be back tomorrow to discuss the next batch of top stories. Until then, keep hacking and have a great day.